Gracious God, thank you for making it possible to us to gather here this morning as your children, to be blessed by you through your word. Open our hearts now so that as that word is proclaimed to us, we may find joy, we may find strength, we may find guidance. This we ask in our Savior's name. Amen. You may be seated. It's a brand new year, only 3 days into it. What's this year going to bring? Who knows? You know, each year really is an unknown year, isn't it? We don't know whether it's going to be a good year or a bad year, whether it's going to be more health problems, whether those are going to go away, whether there's going to be a financial setback, whether we're going to lose our job. We just have no idea what's going to happen in the future. Well, I find it interesting that all three of the scripture readings for today talk about facing the unknown. You see, we have in the Old Testament Jacob and his family. Now, a famine had come upon the whole area, not only just in Egypt, but all of that area, so that Jacob and his family were hurting. And they had been sending down to Egypt to get food supplies and that for themselves and for their livestock to get them through. And in the process of that, the sons of Jacob discovered their brother Joseph, whom they had sold into slavery. They didn't expect that, and they were fearful at first. But finally, Joseph revealed to them that he was not there to harm them, that they were to go and to bring his father down to him, because there he would take care of them. Well, when they brought the news back to Jacob, Jacob couldn't believe it at first, but finally was convinced. And he wanted to go down and to see his son Joseph one more time before he died, because he was getting to be quite old. But he was worried, too, about leaving this land that God had promised to his grandfather Abraham, to his father Isaac, and now to him. Should he stay here or should he go? But because of his desire to see his son Joseph, he started out. When he got to Beersheba, I'm sure he was struggling with God in prayer every day and every night. But when he got there, God appeared to him in a vision and said, "Don't be afraid to go, because I will be with you. No matter how fearful you are, I will be with you, and I'm going to make you into a great nation down there, and I will bring your people back in time. I will be with you." And then in the gospel lesson, we hear that what happened to Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. And we have to remember that about a little over 40 days earlier, we're not just sure just how long, but at least that long, a tremendous event had taken place. Mary and Joseph had traveled down to Bethlehem from Nazareth because of the edict of the emperor that everyone had to be enrolled in their tax register place of where the place of their birth, so that they could be registered according to by clan. So they went down there, and while she was there, that promised child that she had carried was born, the Christ, the Messiah, in a stable. She must have been awestruck. And then on top of that, shepherds came in and said, "We have seen angels in the sky saying that the Savior has been born, and we want to see that Savior." And they came and they worshiped that child and praised God. 40 days later, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to Jerusalem, there to fulfill what the law required, that every male child, the firstborn male child, had to be redeemed, because otherwise it was to be sacrificed to the Lord. And God says, no, it's to be redeemed by paying a price. Either a young bull, or if you're not able to afford that, 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And so they went there to go through the rite of purification of Mary and the birth of Jesus. And a strange thing happened. A man, an old man, came up and told them, "Now my eyes have seen the promise of God. I have seen the Savior of all people. I'm ready to go, Lord. You have promised that I would see this. And then after he had said that, prophetess Anna came up and said, and praised God for the Savior that had been born for all people. How they must have... And these people know. They know what God has said to them. Most of the people didn't know what that Messiah was to be, but they recognized this as the one who was going to save Israel and all people. And Simeon had made a strange prophecy. He had told Mary that a sword was going to pierce her heart. She didn't understand what that meant, but Simeon knew that that Savior was going to have to die for the sins of the people. They came back to Nazareth, or to Bethlehem, because they were still in Bethlehem at this time. And we don't know how long it was, but it was probably soon after that that these wise men, these magi from the East came, and they said, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? And they saw that star shining over the house where Jesus lived. And they came in and they amazed Mary and Joseph and said, we worship the King of Israel, the King of the Jews. And they gave him gifts of honor worthy of a king. Mary and Joseph again were on a high. Oh, this is our baby. This is what God has promised. And that very night, an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, flee. Flee into Egypt, of all places, a foreign land, because Herod wants to kill him. Joseph, as an obedient child of God and as a good father, immediately got up and took Mary and the baby Jesus and fled to Egypt. They had to flee into the unknown. But God promised Joseph, I will be with him, and when it is safe, I will bring him back. When it is safe for you. All these people had to flee because of the unknown and because of danger, because of bad things that were happening. But all had been assured that God would be with them and come back to them. Now we come to the epistle lesson. St. Peter says there, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. A fierce persecution had taken place. The Roman emperor had declared Christians persona non grata. You know, they were basically to be hunted down and to be killed or turned over to the Roman government. You could do whatever you wanted with them. And Peter says, don't be surprised at this, what's happened to you. You're going to have a rough time ahead. It's not going to be easy. But you see, Jesus never promised us that once we came to faith in him, everything was going to be perfect. In fact, in his high priestly prayer, just before he went out to the cross to suffer and die for the sins of the world, Jesus said, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. And that is why we do not have to fear as we go into the unknown of this coming year. Things do not always look so good for this coming year. Financially, things are still kind of iffy. Worldwide, with ISIS, with Al-Qaeda, things are very unsure of what's going to happen. We're always under some kind of a threat. We know what happened down in Roseburg. We know what happened down in San Bernardino. In our area, violence can strike at any time. We know what it means to be a child of God and to be mocked, to be ridiculed, to be shunned, to be avoided. Because Christianity is no longer an accepted thing. In fact, Islam is more honored than Christianity in our area and in our land today. It's a sad thing. But you see, that instead of becoming fearful, we have to remember, he says, I will be with you.
And he says, rejoice that you participate in Christ's suffering, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Peter says, if you are suffering because you are a Christian, rejoice. Some things happen, you know, ISIS, financial setback, illness. These not necessarily happen just because we are Christian. They can happen to anyone. But sometimes Christians take that. And I can remember a dear uncle of mine, the only uncle I had who was ever a pastor. And he said, when he came down with kidney stones, why is God doing this to me? He finally learned why. That man, and he was well into his 70s, had never had really much sickness in his life. And he finally realized the Lord was teaching him late in life what it was to suffer from pain, to suffer illness, to not be able to get out and to do things that you wanted. And he said, the Lord had to humble me and bring this on to me so that I could realize that these people were not just being crybabies when they were complaining about their illnesses. Yes, the Lord is with us in all of these things. Peter goes on here and says, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear his name. Unfortunately, we see many Christians suffering today because they are some of these things that Peter mentions here. Some have gone into murder. They say it's in the name of Christ, and so they kill abortion workers or abortion doctors. They blow up abortion clinics. They are being meddlers. They are being interferers. They think that they are doing the right thing, but they are not. This is not God's plan for them. For if the time of judgment begin with the family of God has come, and it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? A time of suffering, a time of hardship has come. But what does the gospel message have to say to this? And this is where the heart of Peter comes in. Because Peter had been proclaiming the gospel up till now, and it was very clear to him what that gospel message was. But so many people today do not understand what the gospel message is. They think the gospel message is God loves us. But they forget that the gospel message, God loves us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for us. Peter made that very clear in the preceding chapter when he said, for Christ died for your sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. That is the gospel, that Christ Jesus died for us to bring us to God. Because you see, we were dead in our sins. There was nothing we could do. We were dead. But the Spirit came and brought life to us through baptism. That washing in water of baptism is not just a plain, simple little water. It is that word of Christ that he put there. Says, go and make disciples of all nations. And how? By baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then teaching them to do everything, obey everything that I have commanded you. Baptize, because that's how that Spirit works in our heart and makes us our child of God. The gospel message is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. We as Christians have a very serious task to do as we go into this new year. And that is to make sure that we live as a faithful child of God, not trying to get even with people who mistreat us because we are Christians or making fun of us, but trying to show to them that same patience and love that moved Jesus to go to the cross and there suffered and died so that we and all people could be brought back to God by what he has done. That is what he has done for us. We face an unknown future. Not always totally unknown, but we have an idea, but yet the final result we do not know except one. We know what our future is because of that love of God for us in Christ Jesus. Our future does not rest in what happens on this earth. Our future happens with what Christ did on this earth for us. And our future rests with God in heaven. And that's why Peter goes on and he says, and if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. In spite of what the world throws at us, in spite of what happens in the future, just live as a faithful child of God. And that means showing that same love that Jesus has shown to us, showing that same love to everyone, to enemy and friend and Christian alike. Amen. And now may that peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith which is in Christ Jesus unto life, life everlasting.